What does living like Jesus means to me? To act the way Jesus lived his life on earth.
I remember when I was young, we used to have these What Would Jesus Do bands. And then when I read the Gospels, I actually realized most of the time I have no idea what Jesus would actually do. So I realized I needed to get to know him first before I tried to do what he wanted me to do.
I think for me, living like Jesus means holding my plans lightly and being open to whatever God may bring into my day or whoever he wants me to interact with.
I think it's being with people, amongst people, being a peacemaker, and then figuring out what that looks like for me in my space and my neighbourhood. I'm also trying to take those times to retreat, be with God in the silence and the solitude.
For us here in Thailand, living like Jesus means living alongside people in everyday life. It's a ministry of presence. We follow in the footsteps of Jesus as we sit with people, as we pray and respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and as we show love.
Loving like Jesus means to me is to love unconditionally, wholeheartedly, to give love and to give respect toward others as much as you give yourself.
Loving like Jesus means being present to the Father and present with the person that you're with.
I think loving like Jesus is noticing people every day and listening to people.
The people that love like Jesus, they live led by the Spirit.
We started our driving mentor program to our community people to share love of Christ, because Jesus, as the greatest command, is to love God with our all our heart, with our mind, with our soul. And the second command is to love neighbor, love your brother and sister. So through that scriptures, we love our neighbor, we love our community people, and we share the love of God through the driving mentor program.
Leading like Jesus means you see others as precious children of God.
I think it comes back to humility and knowing that whatever I'm leading is not my own ministry or my own plan, but it is God's ministry, and I'm just invited to be part of that.
I think it's instead of wanting to become first and look the best and hold the microphone, it's about being prepared to be the last and serve others and lift up and empower others.
We are so encouraged by the growth of the faith leaders in Malawi. Johan, Saidi, Fatima, Yalisi, and many others are growing in maturity as followers of Jesus in their own culture, their own context.
As these leaders are equipped and empowered, we are also excited to see the next generation of emerging Yao leaders being raised up. God is at work.
I wonder what looking more like Jesus means to you and your church community. I'm inspired when I spend time with our intercultural team members and ministry partners around the world. They're ordinary people, but they're committed to living, loving and leading more like Jesus. As a mission community, our vision is to see more people experiencing and expressing the transforming love and hope of Jesus. In Australia and across our beautiful but broken world, isn't that something we desperately need? More people, more like Jesus.
This May Mission Month, give, pray and join us in this kingdom work. Let's join together in sharing the transforming love and hope of Jesus.
Today's Bible reading is Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The Lord has said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Mark chapter 11, verse 15 to 17. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving all those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers"? This is God's word.
So this morning we are going to look at more like Jesus, the mission heart of God. You have seen the video that is Baptist Mission Australia this May Mission Month, the theme. And today is the beginning of the May, so we are really focused on, let's think about this, about mission. So you see that I'm part of the Baptist Mission Australia, and particular focusing in the First Nation Gospel Ministry. But it's not about my ministry, but really about every one of you today. Let us focus looking at God really wants about us to remind us about that mission heart of Him. We have read that Bible, and let us focus at that again. The Lord said to Abram, not Abraham. At that time, his name is Abram. What Abram means? I think as Chinese, we know that's what we really love. Respected father. Father being respected. Respected grandfather. Abram means respected, as in the family being blessed. And God said to him, Abram, "I will bless you." And then God carry on saying, "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." All peoples. When we sing hymns, we will see that. Peoples. So it's not a typo. Peoples means all different people groups. So we'll add an S to make it sure that we do not mix up whether it's people or peoples. All nations, all the peoples living in different nations, all peoples will be blessed through you. This, we begin with God said, "I will bless you." That we all love being blessed is always followed by another one. God wants us to be a blessing. This comes as a pair. And it appears so many times. How many times? There is a Bible scholar, Don Richardson. He really trying to see, it appears from Genesis and then carry on in different books until Revelations as a clear theme in the Bible. It appears 395 times. 395 times. So make sure that, don't say that we are not very clear about God really want us to do what. What's the will of God? It's very clear. Be us being blessed, then as a blessing to all nations. I think one important verse is the verse 4. So, Abram went. He obeyed. I think that is how the story starts in Genesis chapter 12. If Abram did not go, as the Lord has told him, we are not sitting here. But one man, Abram, decided that he listened, "God bless me so that I will bless all nations." And Abram didn't know exactly where he will be going, what he will be facing, but he decided he will obey. So that is the start. And it appears being blessed and to be a blessing continue. And I'm going to show you that story, how it evolved as a reminder to celebrate our 130th of this hall. Now Genesis 18:18. Now his name is Abraham. What Abraham means? We need to know name has got a meaning. Abraham means respected father. Abraham means father of multitude, father of all nations. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, being blessed. It continues saying, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. You see that comes again. And the story carry on. Now is Genesis 28. Is not Abraham now. Abraham's grandson, Jacob. God reassured to him, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You say, I'm very familiar with dust. God said, your descendants must be like the star of the sea, star of the sky, sands of the sea, and the dust of the earth. Wow, so many. But here, it doesn't mean so many. Because here it said, you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And there's many of us. I'm from Hong Kong. Now, I came south. I'm here. Descendants of Abraham move. What's dust like? When you have dust, you blow, it will not land in the same place. It will be moving, expanding, blessing other communities. I was in Hong Kong, now I'm out. God really wants us is to bless here. Not just Burwood, but beyond. All the peoples. Again, that plural. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you, Jacob, and your offspring. You see, Jacob's and all his descendants was then in Egypt 400 years. Then become a million. Then they all, with God's grace, seeing the miracle, wow, the Red Sea separated, walked through the dry land. But how many has arrived the promised land? Only two. This is such a great reminder to us. It's not just about seeing miracles. Then us will be changed. It is where our heart will obey. Now is the book of Joshua. The new generations will go to the promised land. And God told Joshua again, the Lord now dry up this Jordan River. Stop the river upstream that you're seeing. There is a wall of water up there in the river. And you walk down the Jordan River dry land. Cross over. Well, why did God do this? He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. All the people of the land. Same theme. This group then have the king, have the kingdom now. David's son Solomon built the temple that David has prepared all the materials. And when he sort of have devoted this back to God, praying this, and what did he pray? As for the foreigners who does not belong to your people Israel, but come from a distant land. We come from distant places because of your name, so that all the people of the earth may know your name and fear you. Be a blessing. That temple of God is to be a blessing, not just being blessed. That our own people, we have built this, we know your name. Always come as a pair. from the king, it split it, it divided. By that time, the northern kingdom has been already captured, gone. Now the prophet Isaiah, talking to Jerusalem, the southern kingdom, still remaining, but locked too long. What's the Bible say? It say about being blessed. It's too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. Wow. If it's not written in the Bible, no one will be able to say that. To restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel that I have kept is a small thing. Then what is a big thing? I will also make you a light for the Gentile, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. That is the big thing. I hope that this really comes to our heart, that looking at being blessed, for God is seeing, this is just to preparing us to do the bigger one, be a blessing until the ends of the earth. You see, the southern kingdom, Jerusalem, was captured, gone. And then they were being captured, all these people, including Daniel, all go up there, Babylon. Then one kingdom changed to another kingdom, the Persians, allow them to come back. But after a few hundred years, look at the final book of the Old Testament. All these Israelites, they have forgotten God, not fearing God again. And you see that when I'm saying in here, being blessed, God is correcting them, urging them to come back. I will not accept your offering. It's still a blessing because God really wants to correct them, to bring them back. So that, God said, my name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it is set. All the nations, every places, my name will be great among the nations, said the Lord Almighty. Then a few hundred years of no revelations, then it comes to the New Testament. More like Jesus. Jesus appearing to the disciples after he was arisen. He said, therefore, go and make disciples where? Of all nations. Baptizing them and teaching them. Teaching them what? The Bible knowledge? No, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Just like Abram, he has listened and obeyed. Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything. It's not just about listening, I know it. God said, to obey it. And assuring we are being blessed because Jesus will be with us always to the very end of the age. Luke say the same. If we are being blessed by this salvation, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day for us, our being blessed, then the sentence carry on. And repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to bear with all these communities, with all these different people in Sydney, in Australia, and beyond. Because that is in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. That is where the gospel we have heard. As I said, from Genesis chapter 12, now we are in Revelation now. Chapter 7. Jesus will come again. He is the King. And here said, after this, I look, and there before me was a great multitude. Remember, father of multitude? Abraham. From Abraham, who listened and obeyed and went. A great multitude, that we are the children of Abraham as well, as Paul said. And this multitude, no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people group, every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. From Genesis to Revelation. From being a blessed, from being blessed to become a blessing. With this lens, if this is what God really wants us, understand that God do not just want us to be blessed, but want us to be being blessed, then be a blessing. Now we look at Mark 11, 15 to 17. This is the final week that Jesus came to Jerusalem, the final time. When I say final time, he will come back and we'll go into Jerusalem again. But I'm talking about Mark 11. This is that final week before Jesus was crucified. Jesus entered the temple, and looking at the temple, the people are buying and selling in there and overhand. And very different from the Jesus that you imagine or you have read. He has taken action. He overturned the tables of those money changers, of all those selling the doves, and would not allow people just taking the shortcut from this gate and going to the other gate, because that temple crossed the Jerusalem city. And Jesus said, is it not written? Is it not in the Bible that you all have read? You know what this house for? This house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. It's not just a house for prayer. You say, hey, Daniel, the book of Matthew say it's a house of prayer. The Luke said it's a house of prayer. Mark, that's kind of the first book of the gospel telling us this is what Jesus in his heart, and he has said, a house of prayer for all nations. Because Jesus is quoting from the Bible in the Old Testament saying, this is a house of prayer for all nations. And that is really deep down in Jesus' heart. When he's seeing all these people doing this selling, not respecting, not just about not respecting, but looking at what this temple should be. We are talking about the court of the Gentile. Look at how big is that space for the temple. For all the peoples coming from far away to come to fear God, to worship God. That is such a big area. And Jesus is driving out those people away from that area. That is supposed to be a place for all the peoples that have not really feared God, not yet disciples of Jesus, who have not heard the gospel, or they really need to be in there to fear God. Give them that space, court of the Gentiles. You probably have never really seen how big is in that area. But if that area is our heart is the temple of God, where is that space for you? That is for all the people, all nations. I just want to share with you, making disciples of all nations, as Jesus said, it's not just about going like me. As a gospel worker, we could welcome many peoples in this beginning. If we begin the gospel sharing in Jerusalem, we start sharing Burwood. There are so many people who really are not yet disciples of Jesus. For example, we talk about Chinese. What many of the immigrants, including the Chinese, what do they want? They want to learn better English. They want to have a space that they feel comfortable and not being sort of corrected about how they should speak their English. Like at home, I can tell you, my daughters will correct me. Dad, you should say it like this. But I just hope that a church maybe could have English class that welcomes them. There's so many of you, you're so good at that, welcoming them, that they feel safe, feel comfortable, that they start to be setting their foot in here, sharing your love and compassion and caring, welcoming them, praying for many of the things happening in the world, and also praying for example, the Muslim background. There are so many immigrants from there as well. Pray for the First Nations people. Pray for the First Nation Gospel Ministry, praying, mobilizing. When there are brothers and sisters who have the heart, who God may have called them, mobilize them. Mobilize them in this mission. I just quickly share with you about how God has called me. I came here, as I said, 27 years ago as a cancer immunologist. Not because I particularly love cancer, but because of when I did my PhD in Birmingham, England, my father died of cancer. So I decided that I will commit this, what I know, what my profession, into something that can bless the families and the patients. So I came here and start as a cancer immunologist. But God prepares everything. I work in RPA, and then in 2005, I moved from herbal medicine, from Western medicine to herbal medicine. That's another story I'm not going to tell today. But I've got able to try to learn about what are these different herbal, traditional medicine from different culture, from Brazil, India, England, Thailand, all these flags popularly referred to in Korea. Oh, God has blessed each different nations. Western medicine has only got a history of a few hundred years, please. We have thousands of years. First Nations, people saying they have got 60,000 history, years of history in here. God bless them with traditional medicine. And later on, God allowed me to really focusing on First Nations one. Look at this particular picture, Kakadu plum. God bless them. Tiny plums on your palm. You can hold 10 plums. One of these plums is already have the vitamin C, the great antioxidant, 10 times of an orange. Top of the world. But it's not just about vitamin C. Kakadu plum, as a scientist, I know, because my student doing PhD, I'm their supervisor, we study how, why these things are good. Not just vitamin C, but also about anti-inflammation. Also about it will be able to kill some cancer cells. Wow, so useful. One plum has got three functions. And our work is to make this traditional medicine, to keep the good things, and become health products. That is what I've been doing. But then when I focused on the First Nations community, I came to see this report, Closing the Gap. Closing the Gap of what? Indigenous people and non-indigenous people. They have such a great gap in seven areas. What are the seven areas? When the baby was born, died. That's called child mortality. And then from the early educations, and then whether they're able to go to year 12, and then whether they are able to employ, and how long they will live. Seven areas. Wow! It's not about 200 years ago that we are still about the colonization problem. You said that was 100 years ago. How about now? Now, you see that we have got a big difference between them and us. One example, life expectancy. Us, average the median life expectancy of non-indigenous, 82. Wow. How about indigenous? 2021, 60. 22 years difference. Now, wow, when I read this as a scientist, I'm seeing, what are we doing? The government has been doing 10 years, and what have they done? What have been they achieved? Crosses more than tick. What does that mean? They want to halve the gap. They couldn't. After 10 years. And when I read the small letters, you know, when you buy things, you need to read the small letters that are in those information. Some of the gaps are even wider than 10 years ago. And I'm asking myself, what are we doing to them? How are we helping them? And God's calling me during the COVID lockdown. God said, Daniel, you do not just concern about the health and wealth of the First Nation people, but their whole being, that they have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. So I decided to quit my job at uni and go to the Morning College to prepare myself. That will be my fourth master degree. And I have to sell my house. To cut a long story short of this preparation, I pray to God. I said, God, I became a Christian when I was a teenager, like some of you teenager. Now I'm 63. I said, God, I will follow and I will obey. But please give my family a sign. They will see it's always Daniel, always want to pursue his dream. Always love to study, always want to do this church ministry, always want to do this. But God, show them, this is your will, that you call not just me, but my family. I want to share with you. I pray, and I need to sell my house. Remember, the auction was in October 2020. That's a Saturday, 1 p.m. The whole week was raining and pouring. You know what was raining and pouring now, because you have gone through a field flooding. One day before, the real estate agent came. And he said, Daniel, good news. Now the COVID lockdown is a little bit. It's not online auction now. We can allow a few people to come, 10 people. But he said, tomorrow will be raining. So let us see how they are going to stand in your sitting room. But because during those times, I've been praying earnestly for my family for that sign. And I've got that message in my heart. I trust that's from the Holy Spirit. And I told the real estate agent, I said, Michael, tomorrow, auction 1 p.m., we will be auctioned on the dry land. Maybe 12 o'clock, it may still be raining. That's what I thinking tomorrow will be happen. And I told him. And I also called my wife, because they all the time living in Sydney, and I'm teaching in, if you look at RMIT, is in Melbourne. So we have been away for 3 months that I've carrying on online teaching. Go back to the story. Saturday, really raining and pouring. Every hours, I can tell you, I take a video from my kitchen window to outside, because I want to show my family this is the sign. I hope that it will, and it's really ring until 12, and it continued to ring at 12:30. My heart was so down. I went to the backyard, and the rain fell on my face. And it was so hot that I really want that as a sign. But it wasn't. Seems to be Lord wasn't. And I look at the cloud. Wow, there was a black color, so heavy cloud from the south, because I'm living in the northern suburb of Melbourne. And it moved so quickly from south to north, and the rain felt heavier. My heart was heavier. I forget, God, it seems it's not the sign yet. But God's miracle came at our lowest point. That clouds moved from south to north, then suddenly moved 90 degrees to the west, to the airport side. And I'm looking, hey, where's my phone? I need to take the video again. But I know that it's no use because no direction. I can't show where it goes. So I just going enjoying it. And it moves so quickly. When the clouds moves away, the sunlight shines through. At that moment, the door lock has said, this month we are focusing at Book of Acts. Then I understand the Book of Acts, chapter 10. You go back to read. Peter have seen the sign three times of the blanket of unclean animal, and God said, kill it and eat it. And then the sign disappeared, and then Peter was wondering, what does the sign mean? Same. When I see the light, sunlight, and the door and the gate lock, I understand that is the sign that God has given me. Yes, the house was sold, auctioned, and that evening I have that video meeting with my wife and children, and we give glory to God. They understand this is a sign. And I hope that by now you see that from that onwards, that is how God has led me from there and carry on and carry on. So I'm not going to carry on too long. I've been given 30 minutes to share, to preach. But I just carry on to let you know. Then I go to the Bible college morning, graduate from there, and then start with the Baptist Mission Australia. And I start to know my first indigenous pastor. How do I know him? My two daughters introduce him to me. How do they know this indigenous pastor? I didn't know that my two daughters, 10 or 15 years ago, they already have gone on short-term missions in a Baptist church in Thorney to visit and do the short-term mission. And now my daughters introduce them to me. Amazing God preparation. You are bringing urban gospel resources to regional indigenous. That is in my supporter card. You are. I didn't know when I talked to an indigenous pastor. He told me, Daniel, you missed a letter. It should be URM. I said, why there's an M? He said, Daniel, you will not know. There are so many things I did not know because God has prepared for my whole life. He said, URM happens in 1990. Of course, I was not in this country yet. He said, 30 years ago, there was a group of international, global Christian leaders. They came to Australia and they have a resolution and have a project called URM, Urban Rural Movement. And this Pastor Raymond Finn, grassroots indigenous leader, one of the 20 leaders to sign on that proposal. But that project has never been actioned. Why? They fight. They fight among each other. So without that unity, that project has never been actioned. But he said, Daniel, let's go back to find that office. Let's find that document, maybe even some money. Cut a long story short. Now I know that this ministry is not URM. It's not UR, but URM. Because God has told me that. From there onwards, I've only got 4% by April 2022. But God told me I will start in July. I will start in July. So I start to tell different churches and brothers and sisters. But I've only got 4%. How can I, after 3 months, suddenly become 100%? God prepares. How? God prepares someone that when I, 2005, remember I do herbal medicine? There was one of the students. He then helped me. He is in Anglican Church. Helped me to bring this message to Anglican, to Presbyterian Church, to An Alliance Church. And then within 3 months, I've got 100% and I start in 1st July. When I pray, I obey. And I just hope that I'm not going to make the story too long, but I'm bringing these partnering churches to serve so that we are able to share the good news to the indigenous community, that they know that the gospel is not just about head knowledge, not about ticket to heaven, but really we have God's promises, God's word, able to face the challenge and difficulties of everyday life. So with all these short-term missions, some of these groups, indigenous groups, they start to do Bible study group, and that's their first time for 30 years. So right now, with these, I want to share with you is about this prayer. These prayer groups that we really hope that my partnering churches, my Baptist church, you will have the heart to pray with that mission heart to pray together. And I will leave this information to the leadership that they are able to share with you later on. How are we going to pray for the indigenous brothers and sisters and the communities in the future? I finish this message with this final message. If you forget all the different passages, because I'm talking from Genesis to Revelations that you have forgotten which one I've quoted, please remember Psalm 67, only 7 verses. Look at verse 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Wow, familiar, Aaron's blessing. We have that benediction so many times. Being blessed. It carries on. It says, so that. Look at the word, so that. Being blessed. The psalmist say, we have this being blessed, so that. God, your way may be known on earth. Your salvation among all nations. We are being blessed has got a reason. So that. The final verse is said it all. May God bless us still, being blessed so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. I just hope that we live in our heart that big space, not just about us, our family, our relatives, or even our own people, groups, but all nations. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful Burwood community, this Baptist church. We thank you for your blessing for the last 130 years. Thank you for all the dedicated, faithful leaders in all these times and right now. We pray for these brothers and sisters who really are so attentive and listening with their ears to hear you. But may you bless them that when they hear your will, hear that you really love to bless all nations beginning from Burwood, Sydney and beyond. And may you grant them their hearts to obey you. To really to change that not just into head, but into their heart and from their heart into their hands and legs. To their action. May you bless them, continue to bless them, so they really have their physical body, with their mental, with their spiritual, everything really with that blessing that we can see, and that witness that really attract all the peoples, all their friends, all their members around them, wherever they go, wherever they will, that really like Christ, that people are attracted. We thank you again for this wonderful time that we are able to worship you, sing to you. May our life be able to glory you. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.